There are many avenues when it comes to storytelling. Maybe you like artistically cut scenes from a movie that convey more plot than meets the eye, or perhaps you prefer to leave the visual cues to your imagination as you read an enthralling book. But what if you can follow the story and sometimes control the outcome? No, we aren't talking about Goosebumps. Join us on the next Region Nerd Alert as we discuss video game storytelling as well as some of our favorites on the next Region Nerd Alert every Saturday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And welcome, everyone.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Hello.
All right. So, listeners out there, hello. And you're listening to Region Nerd Alert on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Or you might be listening to us streaming worldwide on lakeshorepublicradio.org. Or you might be listening to us in the past future or the future's
the past future.
And you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcast. There's another one.
NPR One app.
NPR One app. There's another one still, but I don't
Google
remember.
Play?
I think so. Is that the same thing as a...
Is Google Pod... You say Google Podcast now? You're probably right. Whatever you say is right.
I didn't even know I said anything.
Oh.
But anyways, we're on anywhere that...
Google us.
Popular... Yeah, Google us. We will show up. But anyways, I'm Jose, the host of Region Nerd Alert, and... to introduce my other host, to my left, we're going to start with the Boost Goose Juice Chair.
This is Mike, Thick Boy 3C.
Whole studio behind
what
him.
Was that?
All right, sorry about that.
I'm Mike, Thick Boy 3C's 3 Eyes, Facebook, Instagram. Follow my photography at singularityphotography.com.
You said 3 Eyes.
3C's 3 Eyes.
3C's 3 Eyes.
3-3.
Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's, no K's.
No.
Okay. I feel like that's
no, there's
be
a
said.
Yeah, no, there's a yeah, there you got like vanilla thick with the K and then you got thick.
All like T H I C C thick.
Yep.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there you go.
Let's not forget a Blizzard thick. That upside down thick.
Anyways. Oh, to his left, we have the Mister.
The Mister. Fat Low End, I haven't dropped that one in a while. Skyler, I go by many aliases here. Olatho is on all social media. I've been uploading a lot of paintings I've been doing lately. I'm working on music. But epidemics are happening.
Uh-huh. Pandemics, there is a difference.
Oh, forgive
I just
me.
Broke the sticker on the...
I am not intelligent.
Good job.
No, but yeah, you do the intro and outro music, which is the same song, for Region Nerd Alert, and I would like to thank you for that.
It is a slapper.
And you will be performing live soon after this whole thing
Once everything
over.
Simmers down.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We'll find you in the streets of...
If the weather's nice and it's not mucky, I can throw a banger in my backyard. It's pretty big.
There we go. Party at all.
You have 5 people there, each 6 feet apart. And
6 feet apart? Well, there could be 9 people, right? We can't have 10 people, I think.
I think it's...
Yeah, it's no more than 10. So
yeah, we could have 9 people.
Corners of your yard.
Well, we're not in a building.
No, still, it's a gathering.
Yeah. Oh, is it a gathering?
Yeah.
Do I have to wear shoes?
Yes.
Well, no, you can earth.
I mean,
good.
It's earth? Wet outside. So
yeah, don't wear shoes. We're going to be outside.
Shoes.
Oh, man. But anyways, to his left, we have the lovely Ms.
Heather, I'm Deli Hams with 1S on Twitter and 2S's on Instagram.
And you just had a birthday, didn't you?
Yes, on Tuesday, March 17th.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank on behalf
you.
Of Region Nerd Alert, happy birthday.
We bestow upon you happy birthday.
It's a really weird birthday, let me tell you. You know, in the middle of a pandemic, so.
I was going to say, you weird had time. A nice little trip there and came back and you're healthy. Hopefully.
Yeah. As long as I'm healthy, that's what I...
As long as you're healthy.
As long as I'm healthy. I mean, I don't have any symptoms, so I'm pretty healthy.
Yes, yes. But anyways, in the light of the pandemic, we would like to bring you this episode. From the intro, you probably know what it's about.
Hopefully.
But this is going to go into the extensive lore of Donkey Kong.
Specifically
Wait,
and only.
That's Why only Donkey Kong?
Because there's so much to talk about.
I
want to
talk about only about Donkey Kong.
I'm so ready to hear.
I'm going home. I'm going back to my isolation chamber.
Not what I was told. But anyway, it's about storytelling in video games. And the reason why I bring up Donkey Kong is because the first cutscene, I should say this right, the first non-playable cutscene to further the story of a video game was the first time that ever happened was in Donkey Kong.
Really?
Yes. Him crawling up the ladder with the
first cutscene
with
ever.
The lady. I forgot what the lady's name was, but it wasn't Peach. But takes her up, and then Mario comes in, and then he does the and then the things on. And that's the first, technically the first cutscene.
Nice.
Wow.
Unplayable. Really unplayable cool. cutscene. But
unskippable as well, probably.
I don't think there's a skip button in the arcade classics. but yeah, that's why I brought that up. Anyways, storytelling in video games. And when you think of the greats, you know, Shakespeare and Daniel Krauss. And man, he is completely unknown. That's the first thing I can. But Stephen King, other authors, you know. Sometimes
Michael Shea right here.
Michael Shea, right, is here. Yeah. And, but yeah, we have, there's a lot of very talented people behind the video games. Like, every time I hear, every time someone says, oh, like, oh, you're playing that video game? Oh, that's just a, you know, a kid's toy. I'm like, no, like, there's such a plethora of games.
You can live many lives within games.
So many games that takes you. Because when you think of a movie, it's pretty linear, beginning to end. You can have little Easter eggs and stuff, like other plot developments. But in video games, like, it's a different format because you're most of the time playing as the protagonist. And I feel like that's different than the medium of, like, books, than movies, TV shows. You know?
You're like seeing it through their eyes versus controlling them and their actions.
Right. And then that brings up so many other like problems you come across, so many other chances of telling a story. Because not to, what, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say like perfect example of like saying the connection between like you and the character when you were playing Silent Hills, that demo. What's the first thing when you get freaked out in a video game? You want to let go of the controller because it breaks the bond between you and that game.
Or launch it halfway across your friend's room.
Or throw it.
When you, yep. when
and
you said,
shatter
hey.
Shatter it into a million pieces. Yep.
Shatter.
There's a bond there when you yeah. control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, speaking of the Silent Hills game, Hideo Kojima. He didn't make the originals, but Silent Hills, the playable trailer that we got, PT, that within itself I think is an amazing example of storytelling through a video game, because it's basically what it's an L shape, right?
Yeah,
like so you're going, you start the level, just start the whole game, and it's just taking you through like a hallway in a house. And at the end of the hallway, like the L-shaped hallway,
you start over again.
You start over, and it starts over and over. And you're like, okay, like, how can I tell a story with just this and someone controlling this character? And when, mind you, this is like literally just a demo. Like, there's so many different like pictures. There's sound. There's a different because it's three-dimensional. Because when you're looking at a movie. Like, it's still two-dimensional in a sense, because you're just seeing the frame, and you're seeing, you know, the scenario and the surroundings and the, what is the word I'm looking for? Scenario, surroundings.
Like, the depth of everything? And
yeah, like the depth.
The environment?
Yeah, environment. Like, you're seeing that, but it's still pretty two-dimensional. And there are ways to, like, get around that, and, you know, filmmakers do that beautifully. But in video games, it's like, okay, you make an environment, but the house behind what you're looking at, you can actually go there. So how do you fill that in, you know, and how do you make it relevant to the story? And I feel like that's why video games need to be starting to show a merit. They should be up for Grammys and stuff.
Yeah, that's actually most of my list consists of just environmental storytelling.
Yeah,
like that's my favorite aspect. Like, you know, I enjoy a good story, but it's
a good
it's
exploration is yeah. a different
yeah
experience.
It's my favorite. Speaking of Silent Hill, it's amazing environment. You know, I won't go through the the environment really, but thank you.
Specifically, in the first Silent Hill, I love the fact too that they use the environment to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having the game riddled with load screens,
that's
they put
right.
a fog over it,
which caused everything to
load behind the fog.
Load behind the fog, right. So you didn't need load screens.
Kichiro Toyama and Hiroyuki Owaku.
Which, that is technically a whole other podcast to talk about load screens and...
the creativity you can do with them.
Resident Evil load screens.
Those names I just mentioned, Team Silent, those are the people who did the original Silent Hill and Silent Hill 2. And
thank you for bringing me those awesome games.
I believe 3 and 4, but I didn't double check that.
When it comes to environmental storytelling, PT, at a glance, it's a great looking game, and the house that that you're in looks like it'd be a nice place, but it's not a good place when you start actually digging into the story or like the little bit of that you go through the house and you see like. You know, it's got nice wooden floors, and you know it's got like a overlook right by the entrance. And then you start like really looking at it, and there's like cigarette butts all over one dresser.
Mm-hmm.
There's flies from place. It's not a good house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's just by looking at the house, you can kind of reflect what happened in that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with mentioning the environment and stuff, Hideo Kojima did Silent Hills, and he did that. He also did Death Stranding, and that's a newer game with Norman Reedus. But in Death Stranding, it's basically all environment. Like, there's a storyline. There's little houses that you can go to and get more of the story. But a lot of the story in Death Stranding is actually playing the game.
Like your journey.
The journey, experiencing, connecting with others, because it is an online game. So there's ways to communicate with other players in game, like in servers and stuff. When you're building a bridge in Death Stranding to get from one place to another, it takes materials and takes days sometimes. Like, oh, I'm not going to find that material today, so I continue on with the story. But you come back to it like a week later, other porters, which are the characters in the game, have filled that in for you. So it's a multiplayer game, but in a sense, like, you're all
helping each other traverse the world.
Right, and Hideo Kojima actually used that. He's like, that's a huge part of the story, is connecting with people, like connectivity. Like, the whole game, you're connecting these cities together through this chiral network, which is basically like fancy Wi-Fi. But he really wanted to drive the story home with connectivity by making the whole game online with actual real people. So even though most of the time you're the only person, because you're talking to holograms of people who've been quarantined because, well, given the recent events, it's kind of relevant. But they've been quarantined because of this time fall, and it's sort of like a virus. And you talk to them through holograms, but... I guess it shows you like how you can connect with people without actually physically touching them, which I feel like is very relevant today, because there are plenty of ways for us to connect via internet, via video games, via our dirty phones. That, remember, sanitize your phones too, because it is your third hand. But you guys, I know I'm on my soapbox. So you're talking about Hideo Kojima.
You have a Hideo Kojima game on your list. Would you like to explain that one?
Good Christ. Okay, so
you don't have to say what number it is just yet, but we can talk.
I was going
to
say,
no numbers here.
Yeah. So his other work is Metal Gear Solid. All right, it's
Metal
my favorite.
Gear.
Metal Gear.
Metal.
Colonel. Anyways, it's Metal Gear Solid, and it's God. Okay, the story for Metal Gear is so.
It's a mech anime, right?
Yeah.
You gotta narrow Metal Gear down and like.
So I can't nailing this story down is impossible, because it should have ended after 2. Like, technically, he wanted to end it after 2.
Okay.
And then they made him. Konami made him make 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad 4. It was made. I'm glad 3 was made.
No, yeah, like they're all great games, but they kept building onto the lore, and it just made no sense after a while. It has to do with nanomachines and cloning twins, and Lale Lule Lo and the Patriots, and it's
there's so many factions involved.
It's so ridiculous. Like, Here's
in the Cold War.
Here's the best example I can give. The Patriots make it or have nanomachines in every person on Earth, and the nanomachines literally make it to where you can't say Patriots. When you go to say the Patriots, it makes you say la le lu le lo instead of Patriots, because the nanomachines inside of people's bodies literally control what you're about to say. And that is like just the snippet, like the smallest snippet of the Metal Gear story.
Oh my goodness. It's
so ridiculous, but I love every second of it.
Metal Gear? No idea what it's
speaking about.
That's the thing I do, and that's a problem. I know everything in Metal Gear.
I was like, speaking of Metal Gear, when it comes to storytelling and video games, like Metal Gear, well, Hideo Kojima alone is high up, but Metal Gear is also high up because I remember when, I think it was 4 that came out. Didn't it have like an hour and a half long cutscene in there or something?
The last cutscene was like an hour 40.
Hour 40?
Yeah.
That's movie length right there.
That is movie length.
In a video game, which takes way more than an hour 40 to complete, I'm assuming.
That game took way long. That cutscene was ridiculous. I did cry at the end of it, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get into that. One thing I did want to bring up.
Make the popcorn and get all the fixings.
Yeah, for real.
Pause.
I did pause it and come back with food. But... One thing I do like about the Metal Gear story, the Metal Gear series, is particularly like 2.
Mm-hmm.
They all have themes. They all have like different themes, like overall, like thematic things that go throughout the entire story. 2 is all about government suppression and mass manipulation, because in this story, this big oil tanker gets destroyed, bleeding oil all over this bay. But they were actually hiding a Metal Gear in there. The Metal Gear escaped. It got stolen, destroying the tanker, leaking oil all over the place. Well, the government built a series of buildings to clean up the oil and cover up the mess of Metal Gear being stolen and trying to figure out what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of bled into real life because when Metal Gear 2 was like announced, it was all Snake. Solid Snake, the main protagonist. It was everything you saw. In the first, like, hour of the game, you were Solid Snake. And then the whole rest of the game, you were a whole new character.
Really?
You were Raiden.
Wow.
Raiden was introduced to the world. And everybody was like, what is this? Who is this guy? Like, who is Raiden? And Hideo Kojima went, if it was this easy for me to hide the main character of a video game, imagine how easy you are to be manipulated in real life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima is a mastermind at storytelling.
Oh, he's a lunatic. Like, but
I can't imagine him making a movie. Like, I think that'll be too easy.
He has to
for
make
him.
A mini series.
Yeah, it has
simp.
To be.
Way
oh,
too simp.
Oh my gosh, we are not. Do not look up simp anything. But anyways,
don't bring this into this podcast.
And it's a sacred place.
Don't. But
forbidden. Blocked.
But
forgive but me. Yes, Hideo Kojima, this is our props to you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Also, I would like to bring up household name Mark Laidlaw.
Nice.
And
who?
Well,
something tells me you got more to say about this.
If you don't know who Mark Laidlaw is, he is the writer
of Donkey Kong.
Ah,
that are you bringing this back circle. To Donkey
Half-Life 2.
Kong?
Ah.
He is the writer. Yep.
I see. That's the problem. I never played Half-Life, so.
Oh, I didn't even know his name before I looked it up.
I was
like,
say, that's my second game.
I was like, I don't think that's a
Damn,
household name.
It's just.
But is that your second game?
Half-Life 2 is another game on my list.
Dang. But speaking of Half-Life and the Half-Life 2 series, there's a huge not conspiracy, but the problem with it is that it's over, and usually. You're like, oh, okay, just let the series die, but you need to let the series,
it ended
finish.
On
finish.
Yeah,
was there
I'm,
no closure?
There's no closure.
Absolutely
zero
closure. Yeah.
Closure.
There was a kind of fanfic made by Mark Laidlaw
really?
About episode 3.
See, I wouldn't mind reading that.
It's pretty good. Obviously, for copyright reasons, you had to change the name and everything, like change names around. You get it though. Like,
is it a closure?
Most Death 3.
Pretty much.
Because yes. Who's like the main guy behind Half-Life 2? Is associated with his or Valve?
Marvel Death 3. Oh, Gabriel.
One Third Life.
Gabriel. Half-Life. Yeah, a lot of people blame him.
Full Gaben. Death. Full
Gabe,
death.
Yeah, Gaben can't count to 3. He can't count to 3.
I've heard that. Didn't he do Fable or
no
that wasn't that somebody Fable. Else. That was
a lot of people are mad at that guy, I think.
I don't remember his name. But
Lionsgate people? Well, they get closed by Xbox.
Yeah, it's I actually really like the ending, like the quote unquote ending.
Laidlaw's ending?
Yeah.
I gotta read that now because I need something.
It's hopeless. That's all I'm gonna say is it's absolutely hopeless when you start reading it.
I was gonna say describing the end of Half-Life, well, quote unquote end of Half-Life 2 is like watching the Titanic and right when they hit the iceberg is when the movie ends.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that'd be kind of a cool ending because you know what happened to the Titanic.
Well,
but no, that would be like not seeing anything.
Half-Life Alexis, the sequel to Half-Life 2?
I don't think so.
I have no
idea. There's some
kind of
like sequel to it.
I thought it was like Alex's prequel.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I
don't quote me
prequel.
On anything because I don't play this Half-Life. Or his quarter life.
Just know that there is literally no closure.
It's terrible. I'll never play it.
Zero closure.
That's why I don't watch movies or TV shows.
That's
that
why part of me doesn't even want to play that game. Is because like,
oh, it's worth the play.
It really is.
You can't tell me it's worth the play.
No, it's beautiful. Like it is worth the play. Like,
I just don't want to be left on the cliff like you all. It's like, am I better off loving
you
and have lost?
Like when you like,
or have never loved at all. You know what I'm saying?
See, the love loss argument, definitely.
I was gonna say like it's.
I feel like it's better if you never loved at all.
But didn't you also say the first Half-Life is bad?
It's not great.
Oh yeah,
it's
so I'm basically only playing it for one game.
It's
There's Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Wait, so there's basically three parts of Half-Life. Yes.
Basically, yeah.
And he couldn't finish the story.
No, which is really weird.
No, yeah, okay, so I want to correct you on that. Half-Life 1 it's not a great game to play, but actually
it
story,
sets it up and everything.
Yeah, the story and everything is really good, but the actual gameplay is not that good because it's old.
So it's Death Stranding.
It's got that old FPS like.
Wait, what? I was like, wait, what's Death Stranding?
Stranding. I've heard a lot where the story is great, the gameplay sucks.
Oh, I'm not even gonna get into
that's
that.
That's what Half-Life.
It sucks if you want to play.
If you thought it was like an FPS,
if you were thinking that Death Stranding was gonna be a conventional video game, then it's not for
Walking
you.
Simulator.
If you have an open mind. And you want to play like
and you
a unique,
get a mission done?
A unique video game, then play Death Stranding. But I will say, I'm gonna say, oh wait, go
oh
ahead.
I was gonna say before you like fully move on, and going back to Half-Life 2, We Don't Go to Ravenholm is probably my favorite. Like, there's not levels, but level in Half-Life 2
is that in episode?
That's 2. Yeah, it's episode 2.
Okay.
Or not episode, that's Half-Life 2.
Just the game.
Yeah, just the game. Because Ravenholm is a mining town and that was like kind of the resistance like hideaway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they bombard the Combine, the main like threat in the Half-Life series, Half-Life 2 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
They bomb the place with head crabs, which are these weird like things that jump on your head and turn you into a zombie. And it's a nightmare town. It is a zombie infestation in a small town. It is insane.
Is that the one where you're helping the guy in the graveyard?
Yes.
I love that. That is a great level.
That's Ravenholm.
Yep.
Like, when you walk past the entrance to Ravenholm, Alex literally goes, oh, that's Ravenholm. We don't go there.
Mm.
And then you end up going there. Then you know, you find out real quick why you don't go to Ravenholm.
Yeah, there's so many cool thing. I would compare Half-Life to the Uncharted series because the Uncharted series also tells a familiar way of storytelling, which is like an action movie, but more of like a science fiction movie through video games.
Hmm. There's,
well,
speaking
of Uncharted.
Oh, did I hit
that's
another
on
one?
List.
That's on my list.
Oh, ding, ding.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Uncharted. Ding, ding. That's like one of my favorite stories. Like, I've played that game so many times just because I love the story.
Now, the first one, or how many are there?
There's 4.
Okay.
Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, and 4. 4 is the last one. There's also a spinoff title, so I guess there's 4.5.
I say, 4 is like the last Nathan Drake story.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the Vita game, so there's technically 6. In a book.
We don't count Vita.
We shouldn't count Vita, I guess.
Sony doesn't even count Vita.
Sony doesn't know. It's not by Naughty Dog either, so I shouldn't count it.
Don't count. Oh, really?
No,
oh,
it's then not.
No, we're not counting that.
The book I've gotten like halfway through every single time, but I just can't focus on books ever. So
I also can't focus on books.
Let's see.
I can't read.
I can't read. Oh no.
That don't help me. I can't read. But anyways, go ahead.
So Uncharted is like Indiana Jones comes to a game. And I mean,
I really need to play that game.
You do, because it's honestly like.
Did you get it when it was free? PlayStation.
Maybe I did. I don't remember.
The Uncharted collection. You got 1, 2, and 3 for free.
I hope I downloaded that.
Oh, never mind. I let you borrow 4. Or no, I don't know where my 4 was. Came with my PS4.
Yeah.
But anyways, go ahead.
And I mean, you could say Tomb Raider is basically Indiana Jones.
Right.
Like that was like the first kind of like Indiana Jones is doing really good. Like what if we did that to a game? And like that's kind of, I'm going to guess that's how Tomb Raider came to be.
That's a good, yeah, I like
but
that.
There's real no story to Tomb Raider until recently. I mean, that's also a whole other thing where they rebooted Tomb Raider, and that's also a really good. Like, if you want the Indiana Jones itch, but you don't want to watch Indiana Jones, like you've watched Indiana Jones like to death, you should play Tomb Raider Uncharted. But Uncharted 2.
Is that what it was called? What? Tomb Raider Uncharted?
No. Oh. Tomb Raider. And Uncharted.
Okay. I thought it was called Tomb Raider Uncharted.
I was going to say, Uncharted does have like that great like 80, like late 80s, early 90s action-adventure feel to it.
I definitely
the humor of it. It's,
and the voice acting in it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Like, I would say, one's okay. Like, one's pretty rough. Like, the gameplay is, it's a dated PS3 game. Like, it's dated.
The shooting sections and that, my God.
They admit that it's like, well, not like everybody knows that it's rough, like, but you have to start.
I can forgive
there.
Crappy action as long as there's an auto aim feature. Like, if you're like action
for older games,
and shooty sections really suck, as long as you have aim assist,
you wish that auto aim feature worked.
Oh my God.
There's a whole section where you're on the back of a jet ski and you just want to end your life.
Oh, and it feels like you're on the back of a jet ski.
It's rough.
Super realistic.
It's so bad.
I've only played Uncharted 1 like 4 or 5 times, and every single time I get in that jet ski place, I'm like, I forgot about that. I don't know how. I just want to wipe this from memory because I hate it so much.
Oh, man.
But if you, like, you can literally, like, these games are so, like, cinematic and movie-like that people have taken all the,
the
cutscenes for it and put them into movies on, like, YouTube and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who want, like, when I was, like, playing it and mentioning it, like, oh, like, I wish I could play it because it's on, like, PS4 and I don't have them. Like, you can literally go and watch it on YouTube. Like, there are 2 hours, maybe at most, 1 hour 45. You can binge watch
each game.
Like, yeah.
It's like 2 hours long.
The cutscenes only.
To watch, right.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole games itself, if you play them a lot, you can actually get them done in like 5 to 6 hours.
Like, let's see the speed run record while you guys talk about that.
They're 1, 2. One is like 5 hours. 2, I think, is 6. 3 is around 5 or 6, and then 4, I've never played it. Like, I haven't replayed it yet, so I can't tell you how fast that one is for me personally.
So you said 2 was how many hours?
Like 5 or like 6, I think. 2 is like a longer one.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a scene where you have a sword fight in a burning pirate ship.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
That's
like when it showed the younger version of himself? Like the pirate
ship? No.
That's in 4.
Yeah. Oh, I did not play 4.
Yeah, 4 is... 4 is the last one, and it's...
Is it great?
It is,
I need
really
to play. I'm on 3, and then I stopped playing because I like powered through 1 and 2, and I was like halfway through 3, and then I went somewhere or something.
So I thought 3 was a perfect ending for Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
No. You don't get a lot of good endings for video games. It's very rare. Either like the studio closes down, or they just like forget about the series, like. Mm-hmm. Like halfway through, or like some things get retconned, like Kingdom Hearts. I don't like, that's a whole like deep dive I don't want to get into. You don't get a lot of good endings for like video game series.
Real quick.
Yes.
To legitimately, with no glitches,
Beat
Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
Yeah.
1 hour and 21 minutes.
Which one is that?
First one.
The first one in an hour? Well, there you go. If you have an hour and 41 minutes, so you're doing.
You could speedrun it.
Uncharted 4 is probably the best ending so far that I've played. I haven't. There's a lot of games I haven't played that you can get for a series. I don't want them to make another Uncharted. I love Uncharted. Yep. Like it's. It's like one of my favorite games. If they do make Uncharted, I want them to do other characters.
It would ruin it.
Yeah.
It would absolutely ruin it if they made another Uncharted.
Yeah. Like, the ending is so good for Uncharted 4 that I actually got misty at the end. I cried a little bit, and I was like, I don't want another one.
Same.
Wow. I don't want another one. Unless it's, like other characters. Like
man,
the.
So you really said goodbye to that.
Yeah, I said goodbye. Like, I was like, I love this series, and I love it so much, it's time to let it go.
You know what I said goodbye to? Can I say what I said goodbye to? And I cried.
Yeah.
No.
You know. Go ahead. Kingdom Hearts 2. I thought that was a pretty decent ending. Am I the only one who played Kingdom Hearts 2?
No. Listen, I've played Kingdom Hearts, but that's a whole podcast episode.
Oh no, we're not explaining the story at all. But
I don't have to give me the short ending of two.
After the second one is where it gets timey-wimey BS, sort of. So up into the second one, I think, one, Chain of Memories, and two, their story. I liked Kingdom Hearts 3, nostalgic. I liked the story of it. But if I were to think about it, one, Chain of Memories.
Here's Kingdom a fun Hearts fact 2. For you. I don't like Kingdom Hearts 1. This is only why.
The combat's real clunky and simple.
Simp. Stop.
Simp combat. I'm sorry.
I will say
the clunky combat reminds me of old PlayStation 1 era games.
You have to do aerial combos.
Well, that's when I played Kingdom Hearts. Like when I played the first Kingdom Hearts, I didn't think it was outdated like at the time.
You know what I'm cool with is they didn't have the persistent every time you hit the attack button. They at least didn't do that to you. Mm-hmm. He makes a noise every now and again, but it's not like the combo makes the same, you know, noise. Because
by the way,
me.
Can we say who the guy you're controlling is? His voice.
Oh, I forget his name.
Haley Joel Osment. Oh, that sounded cool. Haley Joel Osment. If you didn't hear that, but yep, Mr. I See Dead People. He is Sora in Kingdom Hearts. Ooh. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2, definitely the story.
Honestly, perfect voice, though, for Sora. Like, can't see anyone as Sora.
That is like, Kingdom Hearts is like the complete opposite end of Uncharted regarding like storyline and everything.
Simple and clean.
Not at all.
Messy and convoluted. Yeah.
Like Uncharted, there's a beginning, middle, and end, and you're done after each series, like each game, and then like you
pick up a move.
Yeah,
now I'm gonna use this as a segue.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Kingdom Hearts. The last thing I will say about it is, you can get the I want to say that dumb word now. You can get the simple and clean story and the takeaway from it by playing through it. Like you can dig deeper for the convoluted story, which is the whole Kingdom Hearts series.
You don't want to go in there,
but it is a decent story, just like the bare bones, like explaining it to someone, like a good brotherhood story, love, whatever. But it does bleed into, oh my God, what, Mike?
I'm just mixing Half-Life 2 with Kingdom Hearts. Oh, that's Kingdom Hearts' story. We don't go there.
It's true, though.
I was going to say, Square Enix in general. Like, I want to move into the...
Fantasy. I have a Final Fantasy on my list.
And that's a ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Really?
Which number did you pick?
Always love 7.
I also have one on my list.
Always love 7, but honestly, 10 is like
when it comes
super,
to storytelling,
good.
10.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that. Yep.
Awesome storytelling. There's so much like good things just wrapping you together. And everyone hates that fake laughter scene too.
It's supposed to be like that.
But it's supposed to be fake laughter because they're laughing in the face of
honestly
the end of the world.
When I got to that part, I was like, oh, this isn't as like cringy because it's supposed to be
right. They're
fake,
literally forcing themselves to laugh.
Yeah, out of context, it sounds terrible.
Sin is coming, right?
It's
total annihilation is coming.
Yeah. I played that game so long ago. I don't remember a thing about it. It's like the only like Final Fantasy game I actually like got into for
10?
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's the only one I actually got into for a little bit. And
10
then
is
I
so
don't,
great.
The last thing I did in that game was I was fighting this like three tiered boss thing on a rock or on a hill, mm-hmm. and it kept killing me.
I know what you're talking about.
I hated that thing. I was like, you know what? Done. Never picked it up.
Did it like come from the sea or something like that?
It came from the sea and was like blocking its like lower section with these claws.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The big crab thing at Sin.
I remember. Yeah. I know. I hate.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, no, I'm done. Got...
The one thing that sucks though, and it's like typical storytelling though, but Seymour, like they try to set up Seymour as like, oh, he's kind of helpful, you know?
Which one's Seymour?
Seymour's the bad guy in 10.
He's the bad guy.
And while you're still like, oh, Seymour's one of us type thing, he's like, oh, we're getting attacked by all these sin spawn. Let me summon my Aeon, who's this horrible skull drippy skin dude who's clearly evil as hell.
Yeah, who's like chained like in a tomb with one eye peering out, and, like the mask. I was like,
the most evil villain Aeon I've ever seen.
As soon as I seen him, I'm like, that's the bad guy.
That
is the bad guy.
Kaiser Soze.
You remember?
I remember that thing. I think I know lore behind that.
Oh boy, you know lore about a game you barely remember.
Yeah, I knew lore about this thing. It's somebody's mother.
Yes, it's I want to say it's his mother or something like that.
Seymour's mother?
Yeah, it's one of
it's possible because Seymour does have a father in the story that's live.
It is possible he has a father.
But his mother is not in the actual game, so it's possible that is his mother.
That's like Jesus Christ. His father is
you just
in the
like
actual
dug
game.
Up a memory.
Why do I know that?
Anima. It is
Anima, yep.
Tool album.
Anima has literally every ability known to mankind.
But, OP villain.
But yes, Final Fantasy VII also is a great one. We'll
continue talking
about that. But I kind of want to move along here a little bit. Red Dead Redemption
2 for me is on there.
2, yep. I was going to say Red Dead Redemption 2,
Yes. Anima is Seymour's mother.
There you go.
Scary. Again, why do I know this?
But anyways, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I love Red Dead.
Storytelling wise, it's like on a whole new level. Like,
it's also like if you want to be a cowboy, yeehaw, getting Red Dead 2.
Also yeehaw.
The Spurs were on my fate.
The Spurs. Yeah, I need to borrow that game because I played it for like maybe 20 minutes and I just could not get with the controls. It was
I will admit this. I am a bad gamer. I've never, ever completed a Grand Theft Auto game in my whole life.
Neither have I.
Never completed a Rockstar game in my entire life. I have never beaten a Rockstar game.
I've only beaten
Red Dead 2. I was glued.
It's such a huge, like, map. Like, oh my gosh. All the...
Oh, Red Dead.
Like
beat the first one, too.
It kept me coming back to the story and the exploration. I had a good hand in both, but every time I was like exploring for like a good 2 hours, I'd be like, you know what? I got to progress. I got to know what's going on.
If I were quarantined for like 6 months with only one game, I'd probably pick Red Dead 2. Only because I wouldn't get through everything in the game. Like there's so much.
You'd still be finding stuff.
You'd still be fine. Like, my favorite part of it is like the treasure hunting.
Might want to be Red Dead.
Yeah. You get the treasure map and then...
Have you seen the serial killer evidence?
I seen some
that
of
one's
that too.
Crazy. Oh,
like,
I
there's
love
so
it.
Much to do. But go ahead, Heather. What were you gonna say?
Mine would be Destiny.
I was gonna say mine's on my list.
Destiny like without online features.
Well, I mean that wouldn't work at all because it's an online only game.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, just because you're quarantined doesn't mean
you get one online game and you get one raw game.
Yeah. Okay.
Raw
game.
WWE.
Well, it's gonna be Destiny for the online game. To come back to me for the offline game. I haven't.
Yeah,
like,
well, that was a question we just.
Animal Crossing.
Ooh, I could play
New
Animal
Horizons Cross. Coming out tomorrow.
Midnight. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Oh, I cut it the wrong way. 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 hours. I don't know why I cut
it. So those are my two.
Happy New Year.
what's yours?
I have a love-hate relationship with this game.
Binding of Isaac.
Binding of Isaac.
I was going to say, Binding of Isaac? That'd be your...
That's my quarantine game.
Quarantine game?
6 month quarantine game.
Yeah. God, I hate love that game so much.
You play it.
I play it all the time. I'm terrible at it, but I love it so much.
I don't believe you're terrible. Like, I feel like if you played it that long, you have to be, like, great at it by now.
I'm decent at it, but I die when I shouldn't. I really shouldn't. like at certain points.
I shouldn't.
Like it's like after.
I mean, I feel that same way about certain points in like Dark Souls, where it goes like, "Come on, Skylar!" Like
same with me.
You don't die to this.
Me or Destiny? Like I shouldn't have died like that. I'm an idiot.
There are parts in Bloodborne where like, oh man, I'm hammering through everything, and then I go to like the first person, miss hits me three times,
one mess up,
and I get so angry.
One mess up can
I get tilted hard. Well, what would your be? Quarantine game.
If I had an online one right now, it's pretty much Apex is what I've been playing online as far as that goes. Offline game. Dang it, Heather, you got me that Crypt Keeper.
Welcome.
I got myself that game, and I have been sinking time into that game.
Crypt
it's hard, right?
All the Crypt Keeper game?
Yeah, the Stardew Valley game, but for the Crypt one.
It's hard.
How is it?
It's kind of tough. I screwed myself. Because I was trying to like move my yard around, and I was like, "Oh, I don't like the way that I don't like where my log placement is. Like, it's not a good spot. It's not by the forest. Like, let me put it more by the forest." So I went to go remove it because I thought it would give me all the materials so I could build it back up. Nope. It gives you half the materials, so I lost my log deposit, and I had to literally like farm stone for hours and hours and hours. To buy enough material to build my log thing again so I can start producing wood. It set me back hours. I screwed myself.
It's but not
that
an
would be
easy
your game?
Game.
For right now, offline game would be that Gravekeeper game because I've been sunk into
it. It's hard.
That.
Yeah.
I was like, for online, I'd probably pick Apex because you picked Apex.
Dude, Mike, you need to be our third on Apex.
We need a third. So
I'm calling you out on the podcast. Be our third.
I used to play it.
Someone needs to be our third.
I don't like playing battle royales. It's not my type.
Then we will stop using the excuse of, oh, it's the third guy that's causing us
to lose. Every time we get together, we're like, man, if we had a competent third or somebody that we could just communicate with.
Oh, I used to play it a good bit, and I was like, I just don't like it. I don't like the anxiety it brings.
But anyway.
Story games.
Next on the list, not chronologically.
Everyone's pointing around.
I was just.
You just pointed in the air.
I was doing this.
Oh.
So before we get into our top fives for the last half of this, well, we're a little past half now. Spotify.
Spotify.
Legend of Zelda.
Zelda.
Are you talking flat out, or are you a specific one? Is it Majora's
in
Mask?
In general, the Legend of Zelda.
Zonk.
You like how I phrase
that? We can't count like the first three because there's no story to the first three, really.
Well, the way I said it, if you didn't see me, I put an emphasis on
that score is his story. Mm.
Dun, dun, so we're counting like the newest section, like Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, Breath of the Wild.
Yes, just the way they basically Nintendo's version of. Experimental.
You like his universe?
Good. Environmental storytelling and expansive and exploring.
Honestly, Nintendo, they got one on their hands with Zelda. Like, they created awesome franchise, very unique, and super cool.
Now,
and it's
like
lifelong.
I know we're fans of Legend of Zelda. What is your favorite Legend of Zelda, if you can pin one down?
Oh, I can't really. See, I'm torn here because I have a three, and they all share the same.
I was also torn between three.
So it's Majora's Mask.
Okay.
Gretzky.
Wind Waker.
And the new one, Breath of the Wild.
Okay. See, I haven't played Breath of the Wild, but that's my exact ones. Wind Waker, Majora's, and then the third one was Twilight Princess for me.
Twilight Princess is pretty good, too, but that got like shoved out of the way with Breath of the Wild.
I like Twilight Princess because of the it was like darker, and then like the way
Majora's Mask and Twilight Princess.
The way he was drawn, too, is like more like edgier. I feel like
he
edgy
was
more adult, edgy. Like in Twilight Princess.
The Reaper from Legend of Zelda.
Oh, no.
Like, he was really long.
Ow, the edge.
Jesus Christ.
As an, I wouldn't say honorable, but as a mention, these online games that we're talking about also have storylines. Like, I know Destiny's huge.
Destiny has a lot of lore.
Destiny is
so much lore.
Destiny infuriated me with the first game.
I was going to say, before we get into Destiny hardcore, like games like Overwatch and Rainbow Six also have,
even League has lore.
League of Legends.
Apex has lore.
Right.
Playing the same game over and over, but there's other materials to go off of.
Mm-hmm. The scriptures, if you will.
The scriptures. For example.
The good book.
The coded text.
For example, Donkey Kong.
Oh my God.
Is this it? The deep dive?
The timeline of Donkey Kong is insane. Like, I was at work reading this, jaw dropped.
Are you about to have a Pepe Silva moment?
It's basically, I'm not going to, like, go into it because that's a story for another time. But
the deep dive of Donkey Kong.
It starts with the arcade game. It's the Donkey Kong. Mario trying to save the princess then, but it wasn't Peach. But anyways, then Donkey Kong Jr. Flips it a little bit. You're the little donkey trying to save a big donkey.
And that's not Diddy Kong.
And that's the thing. Let me get to there. You're trying to save Big Donkey, and you technically kill Mario in that, but we won't get into that either.
He's pinning things and bringing
red pinning string. Things. That game almost doesn't exist, but...
Retcon!
Go to Donkey Kong Country. Now we got some story. Well, before that, Mario Kart...
Is this where King K. Rool comes into play as Donkey Kong Country, I believe, right?
Enter the Kong War.
The Kong War!
I've never heard.
Dude, it's all in the booklets, and then they reference it in the story. That's why there are, like, so many Kongs in, like, army getup, because they're, like, post-war Kongs. And DK is actually not...
Rebel?
Donkey Kong Jr.
Rebel?
Diddy Kong isn't Donkey Kong Jr. No one knows what happened to Donkey Kong Jr. But Donkey Kong, his grandfather, Cranky Kong... Cranky Kong
is Donkey Kong?
Canon, he is the original Donkey Kong from the arcade game. Isn't that insane?
Damn.
And there's so much more into it and implications of Donkey Kong Jr. originally being died in the Kong War. There's a Mario, what is this? The Seven Stars, Legend of the Seven Stars. There's Chained Kongs. Mm-hmm. They think he's one of the Chained Kongs because he's got captive POW. So deep. But anyways, I just had to get that out of my system. Honorable mentions. Journey. Games like Journey.
Journey's really good.
Now, that is not your typical video game in the sense of... Heather, you want to tell us a little bit about Journey?
So there's no... there's no dialogue in Journey whatsoever. You don't really know. Like, you have to take context clues. It's a lot of environment. Mm-hmm. Like, way more than PT. Like, mm-hmm. way more. Considering, like, there's voices in PT, and, like, you can get, like, mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to understand. Journey is you're just, like, a little person who wakes up and they have to get from one end to the other. And you'd go on this, like, journey, quite literally, to... It's been a while since I've played it, but...
You sort of, like, find out, like, some sort of history to
like,
do.
It's what happened, I guess, to, like, your people. It's been a long time.
Yeah, plus there's no dialogue in it either, so it's
you can, like chirp. You just chirp.
And it is a online multiplayer game, too.
I was going to say, there's this weird connection
you can't, like,
you
people
could
come in and, like, help you along and guide you.
You can literally go the whole game with the same person. And it's actually really sad if you lose that person near the end. Like, if they've been with you the whole time and, like, you turn around and they're gone, it's like, this is actually really, really sad because...
I'm alone now.
Yeah, because you can do that whole game in, like, about an hour and a half. Like, it's really fast. It's even faster with, like, somebody helping you because it gets, like, really creepy near the end and, like, it helps to have somebody. Mm. But if that person wanders off too far, it desyncs you from, like, that... server
the network,
that
right.
networks that and like it you guys separate, you're gone, and you'll never know who that was unless like you get to the end and I'll show you who you played with and all that.
The game company of that is That Game Company.
Yes, and they have other ones like that. It's like Flower, mm-hmm. Flower. It was like one of their first ones, and it's
my
about...
favorite one that I played was the recent, well, not super recent, but the underwater one.
Yeah, Abzu.
Oh, Abzu. Abzu's really good too.
Abzu was really
That's
good.
Like the only water level that I would love to play.
Oh yeah,
in any game.
Oh yeah,
they did a fantastic job with that.
I got a. Couple games.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Whoa.
Speaking of, oh, is that on your list?
No, it's not on my
list.
I was
going to say, that's a good one because it's a minimalist.
I have been playing that,
it's
though.
Also a very minimalist
and that is
game.
So yeah. great. I forgot how gigantic that map is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge.
It's a journey to get to each Colossus. Like,
I was like, that's like half the battle is getting
you know,
to the Colossus.
They cut 3 Colossuses from that game.
Wait, like all the final games?
Yeah, there's
how many
to be
is there? Like
something?
Yeah,
16
like,
or 17, I think.
Yeah, they cut like 3 or 4 Colossus from that game.
Jeez.
Well, either because the PlayStation 2 couldn't handle it, they ran out of space, or they couldn't get work to work correctly, or they were just too big.
if we remember towards the end, I actually have a cool thing about Shadow of the Colossus.
This is towards the end.
We gotta do our top five still.
I know. See?
Oh, but there's do your thing. Do your thing.
Oh,
your thing.
Yeah. I was gonna touch on Dead Space. I like Dead Space 1 a lot.
Dead Space reminds me of the same where it has the a lot of the reference material, but it's inside the game.
You get bare bones.
When I played Dead Space, I read everything. Like
that, and you can listen to the logs.
I did it all. I'm like, this is such a great story. Like, I love this.
And it's one of like the quintessential like sci-fi things that I love so much. It's like, oh, we've lost signal with this ship. Go see what's wrong. Horror, hell, everything I bad. Love, oh nope. Man,
the first
it's so
Dead Space.
Good.
I really love
the. They also have a cool thing like they reveal the twist through the entire game. Like the big twist about Isaac's girlfriend, wife.
Yeah, he's looking for his girlfriend because she's on
the
ship.
The start of it, right?
Yeah, he goes on the ship. Reveal each mission level, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It slowly reveals the twist.
Oh, the names, or whatever. Yeah.
All right. So now we have top fives, super quick.
All right. No order, right?
No order.
All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you said
okay.
Right,
okay, so Final Fantasy X we talked about. Dead Space we just talked about.
So,
Red Dead Redemption.
So we're going 5-1 to your favorite? Or is it
no,
just,
this is any order.
Any order.
I couldn't put them in an order. That's way too hard to ask me.
Okay.
Final Fantasy X, Dead Space, Red Dead Redemption, Bloodborne. Bloodborne is another quintessential thing that
I love. If you want to learn more about the Souls games, go to Read Your Nerd Alert on Spotify
or
anything that is
in.
It's one of the first episodes we talk about the
Bloodborne,
Souls games.
So good, so good. And Neo. Because from what I understood,
that's the Soulsy type game still, right?
It's Soulsy-ish in that it's really unrelenting in the combat, and there's no difficulty, I don't think, and it's just hard. But Neo, from what I understand, is basically like a fantasized version of something that actually happened in history, which was the English samurai towards the end of the like Edo period of Japan and stuff like that. Obviously, it has like the actual oni and demon and umibozus and all the weird gods that come along with the lore and the fantasy of Japan, which is really awesome and great. But it tells an actual real story that's based in reality, which was the English samurai.
I do love when they reference Dynasty Warriors. I know it's a little bit cartoonish compared to Neo, especially how Neo is such a great game. But I like Dynasty Warriors because there was that new and actual real life history.
Right, there's a bit of like reality there.
Right. So, top five, Heather, let's go.
Top five, Heather. So, mine are actually in an order. So, Bloodborne is one of them.
It's top five, awesome. Number five.
So, number five is Bloodborne. I've almost beat it once, and it's amazing because Souls games are really hard for me. BioShock series in general.
Very great.
I love BioShock. It's so good. Like, even if 2 is like lackluster, it's still a good story.
Environmental storytelling in that is fantastic.
Yes, it's so good. Last of Us. Can't wait for Last of Us 2. That's like a whole deep dive into like apocalyptic stuff. And like, it's a zombie game that I love.
That's a cryable game.
It's what Uncharted is to like action adventure series. Last of Us to like
walking
serious dramatic horror.
And to segue, Uncharted 2. Because Uncharted used to be my number one, but it got bumped down by Destiny.
Which is
And that's only because I love the lore for Destiny. Like, even if the gameplay is still like very point and shoot and click and like over and over again, the lore for it is outstandingly good.
I need coming back to the table.
Yeah. I need to play that because if it's like anything like the Dead Space lore, like where you could just super look into it and read it and everything.
You can. There's whole like websites called the Ishtar Collective that you can just sit there and read all day. There's lore books now that they're releasing slowly but surely. Like, I have two of them, and like the first one's all about the Hive and how Crota came to power and like how he kicked his son out because his son like disobeyed him and how he listened to Mind and all that fun stuff. And it's just, there's a lot of like stuff in Destiny that like the guns have lore, the armor has lore.
I like that.
I love when the weapons have lore. That's the best part.
There's
Bloodborne. All the everything.
Trick weapons, best part.
Ships and the sparrows have lore bits to them. The exotics all have lore to them. There's just so much like lore and just like lore books that they'll just release randomly. Like, oh, they just released a whole bunch of lore books for Saint 14 and Osiris. How Saint 14 was a perfect paradox that you gave him a gun at one point as your character, and then you went back to your time period, and he, in that time period, gives you that gun back. Because you meet his grave, and you take that gun back from him, but then you go back the past and give that gun to him. He's a perfect paradox.
Oh,
and that's what the gun is called. It's a shotgun called Perfect Paradox.
Ah, that's amazing.
And it's like, and he says, like, I've met you and I saw what the city can become and I've looked up to you and I wish to reach the heights that you've become. And he's talking about you as a player character.
Dang. That reminds me of Borderlands a little bit. Borderlands has similar, like, lore for the guns, but also, like, different cutscenes and Easter eggs. But now, Mike, top five.
Mike!
All right. We already talked about most of mine quickly. It was Half-Life 2, Metal Gear.
And this is top five to one?
No, just random.
At random.
Binding of Isaac. Heather and me share BioShock because
BioShock is so good.
It is a great. I love, like, picking up the little things and, like, listening to,
oh yeah,
like, the Fontaine, like, smuggling operations that were going on.
Just like
in
Dead
Rapture.
Space. That reminds me of the same.
Would You Kindly?
You have to play
BioShock. It was so good.
It was.
That twist of Would You Kindly was like,
oh yeah, that one killed me too. Spoiler alert.
Last but not least, Fallout. Just the series Fallout in general. Actually, I have a couple just like quick ones. Vault 87, it's in Fallout 3. It has the single highest radiation like rating in the entire series. Usually it's about 2 to 3 rads per second.
Mm-hmm.
That has 3,900 because a nuke detonated directly above the vault.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it is seriously ground zero for a nuke.
Wow.
Vault 22,
These are vaults within the game?
Yeah, within the game. Mm-hmm. Vault 22 is in New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
When you start getting closer to the entrance, you'll see a sign that says, Welcome to Vault 22. With it spray painted over, and it says "Stay out, the plants kill." But as you approach it, you just see just flourishing nature expanding outside of the vault,
mm-hmm.
and you go inside of the vault, and you're like, "Wow, this is gorgeous! This whole thing is covered in plants. Oh God, what is that?" And I'm gonna leave it at that. And then last but not least is a little place called mispronounce this, Suffolk County School in Fallout 4. There's a side quest there, but it's not really... There's a side quest that you can kind of go there for, but it doesn't really matter. You go to the school and you start reading into the...
Is that like the witchcrafty death claw?
No, that's the Museum of Witchcraft.
Oh.
And Wizardry?
Oh. Yeah.
Aptly named.
Uh-huh. but you go to the school and you start reading the computers and you see this pink goop everywhere. And you start... You fight ghouls, but they're bright pink. And then you start reading on the computers about Vault Tech, the people that make the vaults, giving these kids nutrition paste, which is bright pink.
Oh.
Yep.
Aww.
Yep. So when you're shooting these ghouls, you're taking these kids out that mutated from the vault, from the bombs and everything, and that were eating this pink goo, and it turned them like into just crazy.
Turned them into ghouls.
Yeah, turned them into ghouls.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's bad.
And the Mister himself.
The Mister,
the host.
So, my top five. It started out as like a list order, but then I was like, "It's impossible."
Yeah.
So for Silent Hill, I'm gonna get that out of the way. I could not pick between Silent Hill 2 and 4. I think I'm gonna lean towards Silent Hill 2 more. The storytelling, other than the environmental storytelling for me, was the monsters and the. In Silent Hill 2, like almost all the monsters represented some facet of this guy's flaws or a part of his life that he's sort of like neglected.
All the bosses were like real key points in like
his life.
Yes.
Like despair, suicide, like they all were represented in these horrific looking bosses. But there's some beauty in that too. And the final boss, I won't say... spoilers or anything.
2 is such a tragic, crazy
such
story.
Such a tragic story. And that's why I picked it over 4. It was still hard for 4 because 4 had a lot of good storytelling points, like unique ways to drive
through
the game.
I don't know 4 like I know 2, but 4 is very interesting.
And it's something that we didn't touch upon either, but alternate endings, which is not really you can get that in like movies or books unless you're reading Goosebumps. But yeah, you can get alternate endings depending on how you play as well.
Binding of Isaac. Binding of Isaac has like 20 different endings, and they're all really, really upsetting.
Oh, snap.
They're all really upsetting. Mm-hmm. Just to get into it real quick. You get like snippets of Isaac's like life when you're playing the game, like how like his life was like Isaac, if you don't know, is a child, is a small child,
mm-hmm.
and you get snippets of like his real abusive life, like his mom hates him, his dad's nowhere in the picture,
right,
and all this stuff, and there's theories that Isaac is actually dead throughout the entire game. And the endings kind of, like, make you question, like, is this real? Like, is this not real? Like, one ending's just him in a box, and that's it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's real. That's a real dark game when you start digging into it.
So, Silent Hill 2. I haven't beaten it yet, but I'm throwing in Death Stranding. Like, when it comes to storytelling, it's, like, the most, you can get out of a video game and storytelling, like, in order to truly experience the story, like, it's not something that you can really cut up into cutscenes, which you can and see it and understand it. It's kind of convoluted if you guys seen the trailers, like, what's going on in this game.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
So is Death Stranding kind of like understanding through experience?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
there's you go through the struggle that they're all going through?
There's a linear story to it. But to get the most out of it and to understand it, like, it has tons of reading material inside the game. What I like about Death Stranding as well is you have your own little room where you can play with your little Norman Reedus and pose in front of a mirror and drink, like, take showers and you listen to music. And it's cool because Hideo Kojima went all out with the soundtrack. He got, like, Bring Me the Horizon, The Neighborhood. He got some really big names to do his soundtrack. But you can literally play a song, drink a beer, and just read the lore. Like, he has it set up, so it's like, okay, you're on your bed reading this lore. Like, it's insane how he has that set up. And it's not exactly lore as in just, like, stories. They're emails. So you'll get emails from, like, one of the guys, hey, remember that thing that you were talking to me about? Well, I actually researched that, and it went into this. And so you learn more about different stuff, and when you see it in the video game, you're like, oh, that's the thing he was talking about. Like, there's one where there's an email that you get. Yeah, there's this weird, like, glowing orb over the old city of this, and you go there, and you're, like, looking for the orb, and you could see it. And then other emails explain, like, there's a lot of Pepe Silvia connecting the dots in it. But if you actually play it, like,
that's also cool, like you said, though, that it's dependent on the communication between other people, because you're getting these emails from people. You're not just busting open a book.
Right, right.
And you're like, oh, this is the history. These are the texts. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, I just did some research on it. You remember that orb I told you? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
It's almost it's like still different people, like, reading, hey, we were talking about that the other day. I looked up on Google, like, the story about that relates to that. It sort of feels like that, even though, like, it's a one player
right,
game.
Actually hitting up your people, like,
it's
sleuthing
very,
together.
Well, that's what I like. Another one that I brought up, Final Fantasy 7. Like, 7 will always.
It's always a juggle between 7 and 10.
Like, 7 is just, it's just the journey in that. Like, you go from Midgar, your Cloud, and you basically see Cloud or yourself, like, slowly getting more and more attached to your party. And
the moment that Sephiroth kills, that, like, broke me, like, in storytelling.
Wasn't that the end of, like, what, the first?
Disc 1.
Disc 1. Huge, huge event.
One third of the game.
Oh, my gosh. So that. Oh, everything about that game is amazing. Kingdom Hearts is also in there, because it made me tear up in 2, and made me come back.
It's just
tomorrow.
A big part of my childhood too, like
Disney characters.
I will never ever forget Kingdom Hearts as long as I live.
Same, and I also have a Zelda, Legend of Zelda, in there. It was a toss up between Wind Waker and Majora's for me, and we talked about that. But with that, you're listening to Region Nerd Alert. Lakeshore Public Radio Studios, 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And you can hear us on Spotify.
NPR One.
Ooh. And Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Type us up in Google.
All kind of podcast apps you can find.
All the podcast apps you can find.
Google us.
And if you're listening to this Saturday at 7 p.m., there's an unedited version online, because, yeah, we've gone way past our point of no return.
So
we should just do that from now on, unedited version online.
No, that I was actually thinking about doing something like that, and this is a perfect way so we can get most of our thoughts out and without being constrained by time. Mm-hmm. It puts more work on your old boy over here, but now that I have more time with only one job.
And we bless you for allowing us in these noble rooms.
Noble rooms!
Noble microphones.
But yeah, now that I have more time to, you know, for the podcast, I'm down for giving the people more content. So everyone...
people demand more content.
Yeah. So the people on... I thought you were going for a fist bump.
No, I was just putting my hand here. But sure, okay, I'll give you a fist bump.
So, with that...
Heather went in for the laziest fist bump known to man.
I was putting my hand here, but sure, okay.
All right, so thank you for listening to Region Air Alert. I hope you keep coming back. So thank you for listening, and for more info on everything, follow our Facebook page as well.
And yes.
With that, thanks for nerding out, and goodbye.
Bye.